little perspective is always important to give context to an issue. Here at an Oasis of Healing, obviously what we deal with on a daily basis is cancer. We don't like to invoke fear, anger, any of those emotions actually counteract any treatments or therapies that we're trying to employ to heal the body. Yet in medicine in general, fear is something that's commonly employed, most cases unrecognized. When you look at fear, you see that very evident today in the coronavirus scare that's out there. Now, it's taken a life of its own, and a lot of physicians are starting to stand up and organizations are starting to stand up and saying, hey, we need to tamper this down just a little bit. And Dr. Lodi and I were just talking about this last night as it ties into our patients, but also in the treatment of the patients with coronavirus. So I want to kind of tie these all together. Monday, the World Health Organization, the director actually sent out a statement saying that the stigma surrounding the coronavirus was more dangerous than the illness itself, and that everybody needed to calm down. Now that's important because what he's getting at is he's saying, look, we are invoking fear. But a little context or perspective will help, I think, alleviate a lot of fear that people have. And so Dr. Lodi and I were messaging last night, as we often do every night. And he sent me something that I thought provided some context. The worst day, at least up to this point, of the coronavirus in terms of deaths was on February 10th, where 108 people in China succumbed to the illness caused by coronavirus, the pneumonia. Now, 108 people is 108 too many. However, when you look at it in context, the same day, according to statistics, roughly 26,283 people died of cancer, 24,641 people died of heart disease, 4,300 people died of diabetes. Unfortunately, about 2,800 people died from suicide. Get this, mosquitoes, so probably through diseases like malaria, kill approximately 2,740 people per day. So almost 3,000 patients from mosquitoes. Human to human death, 1,300. And then snakes kill about 137 people every day. So the point of this message that Dr. Lodi sent me last night was take a deep breath and wash your hands. So that got me to thinking. So these are deaths that happen in context and give some perspective of the coronavirus. So here in the United States, as of right now, I believe 6 deaths have been reported in the United States. According to statistics, roughly 2,900 people every year are killed by hippos. 450 people lose their life by falling out of bed. Over 100 people just in Russia alone die from icicles. And annually, 13 people every year die from vending machines. Not really sure how that statistic is recorded, but it's there nonetheless. So a little perspective helps to put the coronavirus in some light that helps to alleviate fear. Now, why is this fear so important? Well, when a patient for us that is often diagnosed with cancer, the first thing that comes in their mind is fear. And the way that conventional oncology approaches it does nothing but propagate that fear. It doesn't alleviate it at all. I'm not saying that the doctors are not doing their best. What I'm saying is their approach is propagating fear that is embedded within the patient, because there's no diagnosis of any quote-unquote disease that emits more fear than cancer. But when cancer's there and the physician rushes the patient to treatment, whether it be surgery or chemo or radiation, all that does is support the fear that the patient has and the family. And it's like it just feeds on itself. It's a feeding frenzy. But that fear has significant implications. When you look at it as it relates to cancer, there was a 2019 study, talked with the staff about it this morning, entitled Stress-Induced Epinephrine Enhances Lactate Dehydrogenase A and Promotes Breast Cancer Stem-like Cells. This study was actually a mouse study where they were looking at epinephrine, which is a catecholamine. It's an acute phase and stress response mechanism that the body produces. but it's also a part of chronic stress. So they were looking at it as it relates to acute versus chronic stress in these mice. And what they found is they found that in the chronic stress in these mice, this epinephrine in the blood correlated with tumor progression, tumor growth, tumor spread. The tumor abnormal blood vessels that they need to grow, called angiogenesis, but more so, it promotes stem cell conversion, meaning the stress, the chronic stress, was promoting cancer cells that didn't have stem activity. So what's called differentiated, they were cancer cells, but they were cancer cells that couldn't really help to favor recurrence or promote aggressive metastasis or resistance. The stress promoted that process from cancer cells without stem activity to cancer cells with stem activity. And the current thought is that these stem cells play a huge role in a lot of the resistance, the recurrence, and the metastatic potential of a lot of cancer types that are treated today. That's big. So stress and fear elicit stress could actually propagate the cancer itself. So what I tell patients is like, look, if you're diagnosed with cancer and you go to your doctor and all they do is evoke fear and use fear to drive treatment or drive you to do something, that is a great way to basically make the cancer spread. It's the worst thing you could do. We should focus on hope, be real, but focus on hope and recognize that these emotions, whether they be fear, depression, or anxiety, they all affect the cancer's ability to grow, but not just grow, but to actually be resistant. But more so than that, stress actually affects the immune system in a negative way. Acute stress actually can be protective. And you think about it from this perspective, you get a paper cut. That's an acute stressful situation. So the immune system gets attracted to the area and it really starts the process of preventing secondary infection and really making sure that the body starts the healing process, but then it turns off. In chronic stress, it's a little bit different scenario. The same stress response in the chronic nature will actually suppress the immune system. It'll suppress the immune system that lines the gut, where approximately it's estimated 60 to 70% of the immune system exists in the gut. It suppresses what's called chemotaxis, how the immune system is drawn to the area of focus. It suppresses natural killer cells. It suppresses their activity. It suppresses their numbers. And it suppresses their ability to target cells. Now, natural killer cells do exactly what their name implies. They naturally kill. In cancer, you want them to naturally kill cancer cells. As it relates to possibly the coronavirus, it would naturally kill the coronavirus. Stress suppresses what are called CD8 cytotoxic T lymphocytes. These are other immune cells that directly attack cancer cells. And chronic stress suppresses antibody production. So when you look at stress, what you're looking at is a means by which you can actually affect the body's ability to fight infection or affect the body's ability to fight cancer and or even propagate it. So when you look at all the hysteria that's been going on over the last several weeks, now we need to be aware, we need to be informed, but we don't need to be invoked through fear. Neither do doctors when patients are diagnosed with cancer need to be invoked through fear. So taking a more perspective approach to the situation, I think will help to alleviate fear, keep the immune system strong, and keep our body's ability to fight infection intact, and keep our body's ability to fight cancer intact. Now, I want to transition a little bit because I want to talk about vitamin C. Currently in the Wuhan province in China, there's at least two studies that I know of where they're actually using high-dose IV vitamin C, not high enough dose, but they're using high-dose vitamin C to actually treat the pneumonia that is caused by the coronavirus there. And that's ground zero of where that coronavirus is. So they're actually, they've got two studies ongoing right now to treat that virus there. And that's important because the antiviral capacity of vitamin C has been known for a long time. Dr. Klinner, back in the 30s and 40s, actually showed that high-dose IV vitamin C could effectively kill the poliovirus, chickenpox, shingles, Epstein-Barr virus, so in mono, here more recently in the 90s, HIV, the influenza virus, measles, mumps, rubella, viral hepatitis. So all of this back in the 30s, 40s, obviously HIV is later, but back in the 30s and 40s, we knew the intense antiviral capacity of high-dose vitamin C in the body. Now, since that time, research has enabled us to actually discover how this mechanism happens. How does vitamin C kill cancer, kill the virus, the coronavirus? Because it kills cancer cells too, and that's why we use it here. But it does the effect against viruses in a different way than it does cancer. Number one, it's an antioxidative agent. So meaning it's going to reduce the oxidative stress that the coronavirus induces in the lungs. And so the pneumonia that's associated with the damage done by the virus in the lungs, the vitamin C counteracts that. And that's very important because that can lead to very significant respiratory compromise. Number two, at high doses, the vitamin C directly kills the coronavirus. So it directly kills the virus. Vitamin C inactivates viruses. It actually inhibits DNA replication and RNA replication in different viruses. It suppresses the viral means to actually replicate, so get new viruses, and that's a very important part of viruses. It stops the viral assembly. So a virus has different components that come together in that replication process. Vitamin C stops that as well. Vitamin C stops the viral shedding, so in herpes. It does a beautiful job of stopping the viral shedding and thus infectivity to others. It suppresses the innate immunity of the body. That is the army and navy of your body's immune system. It's direct hand-to-hand combat. So like the natural killer cells and the cytotoxic T lymphocytes that I mentioned, vitamin C actually increases those components, but that helps it to be antiviral. It promotes T lymphocytes. So the CD8 cells are T lymphocytes. So these are parts of the immune system that attack the viruses. It helps to draw the immune system to the presence of the virus. That is vitamin C. It stimulates macrophages, which are immune cells that engulf these viruses to then show to the rest of the immune system. It increases certain signals that the immune system can send, such as interferon alpha and beta. It increases natural killer cell activity, as I mentioned previously. It actually protects lymphocytes and neutrophils against damage and destruction. It increases lymphocyte production, which are important immune cells in the fight against the virus and cancer, by the way. It increases neutrophil function and activity. It increases dendritic cell function. It increases antibody production. This is vitamin C, which is a natural therapy available right now. No vaccine required. It's present. Its effects have been known for decades. And yet it's not employed. Thank goodness in the Wuhan province, you know, kudos to them, they're out there actually studying it. And I bet they're going to see great results. But let's bring this around back to cancer, because that's what we are involved with here in Oasis of Healing. When you look at the effects of stress on cancer, as I mentioned earlier, what it does is it actually promotes cancer's ability to grow. And it does that primarily through upregulating an enzyme called lactate dehydrogenase type A. Now that's very important because guess what suppresses lactate dehydrogenase type A? That same vitamin C that's antiviral, that could be definitely anti-coronavirus if everything holds true historically, bringing it to this new virus. But this vitamin C actually downregulates how stress upregulates how cancer grows and promotes resistance and promotes cancer stem cells, all from vitamin C, counteracting stress. Not that vitamin C is directly killing the cancer cells, because it does that too, but it actually is counteracting how the stress changes the environment of the body, particularly in the immune system, to actually allow the cancer to not grow. That's the wonders of emotions. That's the wonders of fear, how they interact with our body, how they interact with our susceptibility to viruses, how they interact in our susceptibility to cancer, whether we have it or not. And then the simple treatment of IV vitamin C to counteract all of it. Right there, right in front of us.